Take our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John, John chapter 9. If you're using a Bible in front of you, it's page 1074. John 9, page 1074. When I was in college in northeastern Pennsylvania, I can particularly remember a day I came out of the building that held the classrooms, and I had to go down this long stone staircase to get across the road into the dormitories. And I was standing at the top, and I heard some laughter and a lot of people talking about something, and they were all looking down toward the road right by the dorms. So I went down the stairs and focused on what they were all focused on, and they were watching a car slowly drive down the road. And yet as I looked, I noticed that this was, the car was like many other cars, but the driver was unlike any other driver I've ever seen in my life. And I recognized him. His name is Jim. He was a friend of mine. He lived in our dorm. But the unique thing about Jim is Jim was blind. But he's in front of the wheel driving down the road. He's got his stick out the window, hitting on the pavement, which caused everybody to chatter and to laugh. Now, come to find out later, of course, there was somebody hiding in the car, guiding it to safety. But that's not something you typically see. Someone blind driving a car. They don't drive. We think of blindness in that way. We also think of blindness in other ways. I've been involved in sports all of my life, and I've been a coach, a player, and a referee. And so times, coaches and players and spectators will sometimes get upset with the refs and will say something like, "Come on, ref, didn't you see that? Are you blind?" And they'll offer them their glasses, you know, to help them see and things like that. That's another kind of blindness where we might use it in a derogatory way or metaphorical way. But the blindness that we're looking at today, although we certainly have physical blindness in what we just saw dramatized for us here in John chapter 9, is a much deeper, longer-lasting, more eternal, spiritual blindness that Jesus is working with today in the story. We want to take a look at not just the physical blindness that takes place here, but the spiritual blindness, the answer for that blindness. And we want to be able to not only see the responses of the people in this story, but we want to consider, what does this have to do? I'm not physically blind, but what about spiritually? What does this have to do with me and others that are a part of my life? John chapter 9, take a look with me, beginning in verse 1. As he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." The disciples had the same kind of misunderstanding that the religious leaders had. If there was a problem in your life, if you had some kind of handicap, some kind of disease, certainly then either you have sinned to bring this upon you, or your family has sinned. They might even go back to the Old Testament that talked about sins being visited upon their fathers and their fathers after them and generations to come. That to them was the answer. So the disciples said, "Okay, who is it that sinned here?" But Jesus instructed them that his blindness has nothing to do with sin. And instead, what did he say? So that the works of God might be displayed in him. Why was this man blind? So that this moment would take place and God would be glorified. He continues, verse 4. "As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." So Jesus sets up what is going to happen in this story. If you're taking notes this morning, there is an outline there in your bulletin. There's also extra outlines on the back table. Let's write this down and consider what Jesus is saying. The purpose of his blindness was for the glory of God through Jesus. Jesus Christ. So why was he blind in this case? Because of his sin? Jesus says no. His parents' sins? No. Jesus said, it's so that many years later, he was born blind. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, would reveal himself to this man and others in a much more important way than just physical blindness. It's easy for us to get deceived into thinking about things that have happened to us in life and our loved ones, to think how unfair it may be, to cast blame. Maybe we even look and say, well, it's because of how that person lived or how their parents lived. To wonder what we did wrong to deserve this particular situation in life or disease. And yet I think we need to listen to Jesus here, that could there be some things that because of sin or the consequences? Certainly. But that's not the easy answer. Could it be that God wants to work through the circumstance that he has given you and your loved one? The thing that is so difficult, that hurts so much, could it be for the glory of God through Jesus Christ? Jesus is saying, I am the light of the world. As I am here, I'm the one to shine. He's obviously not talking about actual physical blindness now. He's talking about bringing spiritual light. Because he was indeed the promised Messiah. That's who he's revealing himself to be. Let's continue in verse 6. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with his saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. The word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Verse 8. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that it was. Others said, no, he just looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. And this was an incredible miracle. Jesus chose to heal the man in this way and showed his power to do so. The disciples would have seen this happen. The man's neighbors, people who knew him, knew he had been blind since birth. Could this be the same guy? And his personal testimony is, yes, this is me. I was born blind, and now I can see. So let's write this down as the foundational fact here of what happened. Jesus healed the blind man. I mean, it sounds so simple, so short, and yet so significant. There was no denying it. He had been born blind. Now he can see. So how are the different people involved in this story going to respond to what just happened? Let's see how these different groups respond. That's kind of the rest of your notes. A little fair warning here. We're going to be skipping back and forth from the front and back of your outline. So stay with me. Verse 10. How then were your eyes opened? They asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is the man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. So we just wrote down your notes that the man was blind, but remember, now we're talking about the formerly blind man, right? He's no longer blind. So these are his responses based on what has happened to him. So let's begin with this. Here's what he said. Once I was blind, but now I see. Pretty simple. Trying to explain all the details of this. I don't know, but I do know this. I was blind, and now I'm not. Well, how does the crowd react? They tell on him. Verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. And if you've been with us through the journey, through the Gospel of John, you know that's going to be a problem for for the religious leaders. You would think that a blind man from birth who now can see would be celebrated. You would think we would find the guy who did this and give him the key to the city. But no. There's a few problems here. First of all, it's Jesus who has been claiming to be from God. And, of course, Jesus has to do this work on the Sabbath day, which was against their laws. Verse 15. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Okay, same testimony as before, but now the Pharisees give their response, verse 16. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. Verse 17. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. Okay, so let's take a look at a couple of responses here. So in your notes where it says Pharisees, write this part of their testimony. Jesus is a sinner. That's what the Pharisees think, or at least some of them did. He did not obey God by doing this on the Sabbath day. But then when they go back to the blind man, what does the blind man say? Here's his testimony, so let's add this to his testimony. Jesus is a prophet. A prophet was one that they knew who had heard from God, experienced God, and then passed that on to others. So he assumes Jesus is one of the prophets. Surprise, surprise, the religious leaders do not accept his assessment. Verse 18. They still do not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son, they asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he now can see? Verse 20. We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had already decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. All right, let's write down a summary of the parents' testimony. You're going to have to turn to the back for this one. Here's a summary of their testimony. He was blind and can now see, but don't blame us. They didn't believe that the guy is actually blind. I mean, they have a problem if he was blind and can now see and it's Jesus who did it. So bring the parents in. All right, testimony. Tell the truth. Was he blind? Yes, from birth. And he can see now? Yes. How? Well, we're told why they said what they said. Hey, he's of age, ask him. He's an adult. Because they knew if they said what they had heard and thought, they would be thrown out of the synagogue, which is a pretty huge thing in that day. The religious leaders believing you're a sinner too and throwing you out. So they don't blame us. I have talked to people in my life, maybe you have as well, who, because of their family religion, the religion or the church that they were a part of, there was a lot of pressure there. And one of the reasons they were struggling with converting to Christianity is because if they converted, this was not just a matter of changing churches. Their family would turn their back on them. They'd basically be ostracized from their, not only their church, but from their family. A pretty big deal to people when you think about, I'm going to lose relationships with people I love the most if I follow Jesus. That's what was going on back then, even more so, to a greater degree. So the worst thing you could do besides disobeying one of their ever-changing rules was to believe that the Messiah had already come and that the Messiah was Jesus. Verse 24. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" All right, we'll get to that in a moment. So, tell the truth this time, basically saying, you've obviously lied. We don't believe in this Jesus guy. He's a sinful person. So are you if you follow him. So what happened? So add this to the response from the Pharisees. This is on the front side of your notes. A sinner cannot do these kinds of miracles. Especially not going to do it on the Sabbath day. I love the guy's response. We summarized it earlier. They're asking him these questions. They're saying this can't happen according to our religious structure. And he says, "I don't know all the details. This is my testimony. I was blind, and now I can see." This is an incredible miracle, but for this man, it was as simple as that. This is what Jesus has done. And there's a spiritual picture here, of course. It's not just physical blindness. This is what happens to everyone who begins to walk in the light. When God opens our eyes and helps us to see, and we've been hearing these faith stories, at some point where we understand it's not a religious thing, it's not a church thing. This is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Our eyes are opened spiritually, no longer blind, and now we can see. Everyone has that kind of testimony. Some may not have all the details that Jeff shared with us today. Some of us are pretty shy, or we don't know how to speak publicly. But we all have those of us who follow Jesus, we all have a "once I was blind, but now I see" testimony. And it doesn't take long to share it. Back to the back side of your outline, let me suggest a response from us that relates to Jesus bringing spiritual light. Tell what happened when your eyes were opened and you trusted in Jesus. Just share what happened. We've been sharing testimonies of 5 minutes or so, some a little longer, some a little shorter. But it doesn't even take that. Let me give you an example. I was 5 years old. I heard in Sunday school that Jesus had died for my sins, that if I wanted to go to God in heaven, I needed to accept Jesus into my heart. I went home, I asked my dad, and the best he could do to a kindergartner was to share in words I could understand what it means to know and follow Jesus Christ. And that night, by my bedside with my mom on my side, I prayed to trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Once I was blind, and now I see. I didn't understand a lot at that age. It took me a long time. That story I just shared with you is less than 20 seconds. Everyone who follows Jesus has a "once I was blind and now I see" story that's real to you and that you can share with someone that God brings into your path. So the Pharisees are grilling this man a second time after they had just interrogated his parents, and they're unwilling, of course, to accept his answer. Verse 26. Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Love that question. I wish I was there for that one. Apparently, the blind man had considered himself willing to follow him. He had enough of the Pharisees questioning and pestering. Of course, they didn't take kindly to that, what seems like a sarcastic remark. Look at verse 28. Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple? We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." Remember, they had accused Jesus in the past of coming from Satan. They certainly didn't believe he came from God. So let's add this to their response in our notes. This is on the front side. We are followers of Moses, not Jesus. Why do they say followers of Moses? Because Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the law. That's who they say they follow. Verse 30. The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." So add this to your notes. Here's the formerly blind man's testimony. Jesus is from God. That's been a major issue so far in the Gospel of John, right? Where is this guy from? We know his parents. He's a carpenter's son. He's from Nazareth. He can't be from God. And this man who just experienced this says, because of what he has done, he is definitely from God. But the facts don't bother the pride and blindness of the Pharisees. Look at verse 34. To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Guess they didn't like the answer. So they could not accept Jesus was from God. Therefore, this blind man, regardless of what he said, regardless of what his parents said, he's got to be a liar. We cannot accept that this is true. And he's in opposition to them, so they throw him out of the synagogue. You're a sinner. That's why you're blind. We're blind, or whatever's happening to you. But we know it wasn't Jesus. Verse 35. Jesus heard they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking with you." Verse 38. Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus goes to the man, asks him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" This is a term Jesus used to identify himself as one who came from God, as a man, sent here to save mankind. The man falls down when he finds out who it is. He says, "I believe." And he worships him. So in your notes, let's write down one more response of this former blind man. I believe. We don't know what his life was like after this moment. But we know that he recognized, not now just because he was physically blind, but because of who did it, that Jesus brings spiritual light into his life, and he follows him. Verse 39. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." If you've been with us in our message series through John, this statement, "For judgment I have come into the world," might sound contradictory. Back in John 3:17, Jesus said, "I have not come to judge the world. I have come to save it." In John 5:22 and 27, it said, "God doesn't judge anyone, but gave the power to judge to Jesus." The way I think we can look at this to better understand it is as two sides of the coin. Jesus came to save on one side of the coin. But if people rejected him, as they often did, he talks about bringing judgment and division, the other side of the coin. Both are true. Both are things that God knows about, as he has talked, But in reality, we find out those that God has brought salvation to and those God has brought judgment for, depending on their responses, as we have seen this morning. For these religious leaders, Jesus talks about bringing judgment because they have refused to believe in who Jesus is. Verse 40. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What are we blind to?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." You may notice through John and other Gospels that it was those who humbled themselves and realized they were spiritually blind that were able to see. Those that thought they had it all together and were religious and tried to keep all the rules, "I'm okay, I'm good," they couldn't see. They were blind. John Calvin explained it this way. I think we have it up here for you. "He is blind who, aware of his own blindness, seeks a remedy to cure his disease. In this way, the meaning will be, if you could acknowledge your disease, it would not be altogether incurable. But now, because you think that you are in perfect health, you continue in a desperate state." So with all this said, the story of the blind man played out, there's one more thing that needs to be done. On the backside of your notes, one more thing to write down for us to consider. And we'll just use the title of the message this morning. Are you blind? It's an evaluation for ourselves. We're talking spiritually here. To evaluate, have I been able to see by God's grace who Jesus is? Have I accepted him? Or am I just religious, trying to do good enough things, be good enough and moral enough? Am I blind? And once you recognize that and you realize you're blind and you have trusted in Christ and you have seen the truth, you have the light, now you're able to help others around you who are blind. Others around you who can't see through the religious structure that they're involved in, are not able to accept who Jesus is because of your personal experience, because of your "I once was blind, but now I see" testimony, you can share that light with others. I'd like to conclude before we sing. Take a look at a video that I think is a good conclusion to our message today. There are two ways, as we have seen, a couple different ways to look at the same information: in blindness or in light. Let's take a look.